and our Redeemer. Amen. When I was growing up, on Sunday mornings before church, there was a program called On the Road with Charles Kuralt. The program would feature films, sounds, and photography from around the country. Charles Kuralt would often quote poetry in vividly describing and enhancing what he saw. He had a way with words that would transport the listener to the place he was visiting. His successor on Sunday mornings, Charles Osgood, said about Charles Kuralt that he got something else that other reporters missed. He got the meaning of the story. He put the meaning in such a way that we came to think that we had known it all along, only we hadn't. Picture today's scripture like that. Two disciples of Jesus from Israel are walking along a dusty road leaving Jerusalem. The tall walls and magnificent buildings of Jerusalem are fading in the background as they walk. The steep downward road leading, according to some sources, 60 furlongs to Emmaus. Now, a furlong was about the equivalent of one time around the track of a Roman stadium, approximately one time around a high school track, which is 400 meters or a quarter of an English mile, an eighth of a Roman mile. The distance to Emmaus, therefore, would have been about 15 English miles or 7 Roman miles. However, various manuscripts place Emmaus anywhere from 3 to 18 miles from Jerusalem. There is evidence supporting 4 different locations around Jerusalem, none with certainty. What we do know is that a fellow traveler joins the two disciples. The traveler is Jesus, but is initially unrecognized by the two disciples. Considering the fact, according to John, that Mary Magdalene did not initially recognize Jesus in the garden, this lack of recognition is not surprising. The two disciples, Cleopas and an unnamed companion, are traveling away from Jerusalem, hanging their heads as they discuss the events of the last 3 days. While we sometimes speak of the 12 apostles as the disciples, remember that Jesus had many disciples, and these two persons were probably among the closest, but not among the 12, now 11 apostles, considering that Judas Iscariot has hung himself now after Jesus' arrest. It's interesting to note that Cleopas is named here, but the second disciple is not. It has long been suggested that this allows us to put ourselves in the shoes of the unnamed companion. So let's do that. Let's imagine ourselves walking away from Jerusalem. You are the companion of Cleopas, a disciple of Jesus. You and Cleopas are talking, and someone you don't know asks you, "What are you talking about?" To their credit, they testify. They tell the unknown person about their hopes and their fears about Jesus. Sadly, they explain that they had hoped that Jesus was the one who came to redeem Israel. The NRSV has a footnote which says, "or set Israel free." The Greek verb here is luo, which means to release or to ransom. As has happened so many times in the gospel story, even the closest disciples are confused about what it means to be the Messiah. As Jesus walks with you, opens the scriptures, and begins with Moses, the beginning of Scripture, and tells the travelers how the Messiah should suffer and die and be raised again to glory. Jesus' teaching burned in their hearts, yet they still did not recognize him. It was not until Jesus accepted their hospitality, took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them that they recognized him. In the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, we recognize, we remember, we enact the saving life, death, and resurrection of Jesus until he comes again. It's through word, the teaching of the Scripture, and sacrament, the breaking of the bread, that we recognize Jesus. Interestingly, the word companion used in the NRSV literally means with bread. A companion is one with whom you break bread. Breaking bread is not a solitary act. Neither is studying the word. In a recent Gallup poll, those who attended church more than one time per month stated that their number one reason for attending was to hear the word. To hear the word proclaimed and hear how it applies to everyday life. Among Protestant Christians, this reason was number one to 80% of the respondents. Indeed, we need each other to learn the word of God and to learn how to apply it to our lives. It is no good to have head learning without life application. It's no good to have tires on your car if the rubber does not meet the road. In the Road to Emmaus story, we have the word proclaimed and we have the road. Jesus has come to us on the road where we live and work and travel. First, Jesus asks, what are we talking about? Are we talking about Jesus? Are we talking about what we believe? In my world religion class, our professor would begin each class asking for two volunteers to give what he called a bus speech. He would give extra credit for those willing to explain their faith as if someone had sat down beside them on a bus and said, "I see you're wearing a cross. What does that mean to you?" For the travelers on the road to Emmaus, that was a road speech. For us, it might have been an elevator speech or a bus speech or an airplane speech. It's helpful to think it out in advance because you might not have much time to explain. The person who asked may be getting off at the next stop. So what do you say? Do you have a bus speech? Jesus then chides them for not understanding and not believing. The word for believe here is a form of the Greek word pistuo, which means more than just believing a fact. It means having faith or relying on the truth of the matter. Understanding begins with faith. This does not mean checking our God-given brains at the door. It means we begin with God-given faith and then seek understanding. Jesus then supplies teaching. Jesus goes to the Scripture and shares the meaning of the Messiah as revealed throughout Scripture. Now note the Scripture that Jesus was using. Wasn't the King James Version we talked about in Sunday school today. It was the Hebrew Scripture. The Hebrew Scripture beginning with Moses. Here we have a clear indication of the importance of Hebrew Scriptures in understanding who Jesus is and his role as Messiah. Next, The travelers invite Jesus to the table. Hospitality is key to who we are as a church and who Jesus wants us to be. It has been said that the church is at its best one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. We are called by Jesus to exercise radical hospitality and table sharing. To paraphrase the poet Emmanuel Levinas, we find Christ in the face of the other. Levinas, through his concept of the face of the other, has captured in simple words what Jesus has called us to do. We can experience Christ in the face of the other, in the breaking of bread, the sacred in the ordinary. We move beyond merely knowing the story to experiencing Christ in the other. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where we meet Jesus on the road. The disciples did not recognize Jesus on the road at first. Would we? An experiment was run by a homeless shelter in New York City where they found that relatives did not even recognize their own family members who were pretending to be homeless on the street. Every homeless person on the street is someone's son or daughter, someone's brother or sister, someone's family member. Not only someone's, but ours. Jesus is our brother, and he tells us that whenever we care for the least of these, we care for him. The PCUSA has asked churches to ask themselves, are we Matthew 25 Christians? Matthew 25 is the scripture where Jesus tells us that when we help those who are in need, we help him. This is how Jesus said it. Quote, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. And then the king will say to those at his right hand, come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. End quote. So if we're Matthew 25 Christians, when we meet someone on the road to Emmaus or elsewhere, we meet Jesus. When we look into the face of the other, whether the world judges them to somehow be lesser or the least, we see Jesus. And when we meet the other, when we meet Jesus on the road, we share our story. And when we meet the other, we meet Jesus on the road, we show hospitality and break bread with the other. And when we break bread with the other, we break bread with Jesus. And when we show hospitality to the other, we show hospitality to Jesus. May we all be prepared to meet Jesus on the road. Amen. So having